everyone, and welcome back to another week here at the Damage Report. New week, same old intro. I keep saying I'm gonna update that. When is John gonna do it? We should have a little like tracker right there of how many days we've still got the old intro. But you know what we have that's new and fresh every week? Francesca Fiorentini. How's it going, Francesca?
What's going on? I'm good.
Glad to have you here.
Where else would I be other than in my house?
That's true. Waiting, that's true.
Waiting to go outside. I am so sick of being indoors, you guys. Can everyone just please stop being trash so I can go outdoors at some point? Thanks.
That would be great. Well, we're gonna talk a little bit about what's stopping us from going out of doors, the people who are messing with the attempts to vaccinate. By the way, the chat is full of Francesca emotes and also comments about her, because I saw a reference to from the Progressive Defender saying she should definitely do her idea of comedians for single payer she talked about last night. That sounds like an awesome campaign. What's this comedians for single payer thing?
Just an idea that was bopping around my head, but I guess now I have to make good on it. You know, I mean, comics and entertainers are definitely people who've been strung out and left out of this moment because of the pandemic. And we often don't have healthcare. We gotta go buy it on the marketplace if we can even afford that. If you're not in the union, that's even more difficult, like the Screen Actors Guild or the Writers Guild. A lot of people are not in that. Anywho, I was talking all about health, single payer healthcare in California on a statewide level with a man named Michael Lighty of Healthy CA. And so, yeah, check that out on the Bituation Room podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. But it was good. It was good. So we'll see.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we've got a lot that we're gonna be going over on this hour of the Damage Report, including Trump's legal troubles. Turns out he still can't keep a lawyer. We've got the latest on the stimulus bill. What's it gonna look like? How bad is it gonna get? We've got protests over the vaccine. We've got Marjorie Taylor Greene. We've got other things that rhyme. But anyway, we got a lot. So definitely stay tuned for this hour. And for those of you who are our YouTube members of level 2 or 3, every Monday we do a top 10 list. We're gonna be doing a fun one this week. Our top 10 predictions for Marjorie Taylor Greene conspiracy theories. So these aren't ones that she believes in yet, but we're gonna be predicting some that we think she just might end up supporting a little bit later on. And for those of you who are watching, thank you so much for being here. Please hit the like button and share the stream if you haven't already. And some of you are already sending in comments and super chats and things like that. We're gonna be responding to those after we get past just a little bit of this news, which I think we should jump into now. Trump's about to have his Senate impeachment trial like any day now, and he just lost his legal team. Like, the whole team just left. And apparently it's his fault, as we'll get into. His 5 impeachment defense attorneys have left a little more than a week before his trial is set to begin, which, so obviously that's not a good sign for Trump, but is it a good sign for America that the guy who's potentially gonna be convicted over his impeachment, over the storming of the Capitol, just lost his whole legal team? And I'm not sure that that actually makes his conviction any more likely, Francesca. Like, does it even matter if he gets new ones? Like, who is making the consideration based on, I have to see what legal defense they craft? Like, who is actually operating on that? And it's sort of sad that they're not, that nobody is.
I mean, at this point, I feel like Rudy Giuliani gave us some foreshadowing. Like, why not just play the Joe Pesci portions of My Cousin Vinny and call it a wrap? Like, Republicans who are going to vote to acquit are gonna still vote to acquit. You know, I am gonna be cynical at a roll on this one and say I don't think that anything that any lawyer sets before this Senate is going to change their minds. But yes, it says terrible things about how just how far gone the Republican Party is.
Yeah, totally, totally. And you know, weird small world. Throughout the pandemic, my wife and I, every Friday, we alternate choosing a movie to watch. And this last Friday was My Cousin Vinny. So it was small world there. And you know what? Not bad, not bad. I haven't watched
it. Oh, you hadn't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it in like forever, since I was a kid. It was good.
So good.
Yeah. Anyway, more on the lawyers, I guess. Butch Bowers and Deborah Barbier. They were expected to be two of the lead attorneys. They're out. Josh Howard, Johnny Gasser, Greg Harris. No other attorneys have announced they were involved with the case. So it appears that for now, Trump is defenseless. Although since then, we've got some new names, which we will get to. But first of all, let's talk about why. Why did they leave? Was it for totally understandable reasons like they were never gonna get paid? No, they signed up for it. They knew who he was. Is it because it seems sort of reprehensible to defend this guy when we know what he did? Well, no, a lot of lawyers have had to get past that. You get to have defenders even if you clearly did it. No, it was because of the actual strategy. So John Dean tweeted, all of Trump's impeachment defense lawyers have refused to mount a bogus defense based on their client's wish to claim he was subject to massive voter fraud. Trump undoubtedly would like to defend himself and create an unmitigated circus at the Senate trial. Stay tuned. So the idea is that the strategy is going to be, they stole the election from me, which isn't a defense against the charges. It is, if anything, like that he was impeached for inspiring the violence at the Capitol, which he did because he told all those people that the election was stolen. So rather than say, no, I didn't do that, or it's unconstitutional to impeach a former president, he's going with, no, I was right. Let me say it again. Mm-hmm. That seems crazy. Like if anything should lead to some Republicans saying, oh, I guess he really didn't learn anything, we need to convict this guy, this should be it. But again, cynical Adarola, probably not gonna happen.
Look, I'm not gonna be one of the reporters on the Hill or in, you know, in the White House press corps that's like, I miss the drama. Mm-hmm. But I kind of miss a little bit of drama. Look, you can't just go cold turkey on us, Trump. So I would, I'm not gonna say I wouldn't thoroughly enjoy watching him make an utter buffoon of himself one last time. I'm not, I can't sing that well, but you know what I'm saying? Very Hamilton, just give it to us, you know? And, but he is in a prison of his own making, as always, and we hope he will eventually be in an actual prison, but he is in a prison of his own making because think about the legal defenses. The most rational definitely is he did not incite violence. There is nothing that links him to this rally except for him speaking at it, but that he had no intention of there being a storming of the Capitol riot. There was no intention of violence, there was no intention of a mob, and furthermore, in order to make that point, you have to say that the people who did that were wrong. You have to say that the people who did that were violent, they did something illegal, and he won't throw his base under the bus. He will not do that. And every time he has, they start to turn on him, right? Every time he says that actually Joe Biden did win the election and let's have peace, you know, then they're like, oh man, he's not for real. So this insane base that he's cultivated will turn on him, and he cannot turn his back on them because it's all he's got left. So yeah, that doesn't work. And I think the unconstitutionality of him being a former president, that's very technical. I think that could get you like a day's breath, you know, but it would, I would like to think, at least symbolically, this shows that Trumpers and loyalists, and specifically Trump, they're not even trying to appeal to some of those Republicans to get them over on a technicality, to win them over on sort of distancing himself from the violence. No, this is the same. Throw down the line. Are you with Trump or are you against him?
Exactly. Steve Bannon has an idea of what he wants Trump's legal defense to be, or he's still like a stand-in for. It's like how herd immunity was a public health like strategy. It wasn't, it just took the place of one. He wants the president to go to the Senate himself because, quote, he's the only one who can sell it. Aides are reportedly against the idea and being very bold about it anonymously. But anyway, he says he should just go. So he could, like, to continue one of your analogies, is he going to throw away his shot? Trump doesn't have Twitter anymore. He desperately wants to be in the news. He would love to go there and testify, but the testifying would just be him ranting about how they stole the election from him. Like, and there's two things about that that would be incredibly frustrating. One, that this would be a very high profile attempt or opportunity for him to inspire future violence, to get more people to storm capitals and all of that. And he doesn't care if that's the end result, that's perfectly fine for him. Because it gets people to, like, he'll announce his Patriot Party, like, live during his testimony or whatever. And the second one is, he could literally sit there and be like, the sixth was just the first offensive. I want people storming every capital. And then, like, 2 hours later, like, all the Republicans would be like, innocent. Like, because again, it doesn't matter. Like, it is entirely possible that if he testifies, and I guess he kind of needs to, slash would definitely want to, that that's what he would use that time for.
Can he not? Like, I'm just wondering, like, legally, like, can he just no show?
Well, I mean, sure, like, he skipped debates and he skipped the inauguration, but like, but explain to me. So why wouldn't he want to? If he had the opportunity to testify, why wouldn't he want to?
Because I mean, he wants to, number one, but I think his aides, i.e. Ivanka and Jared, do not want that because they know that he's not only going to further incite violence, make a fool of himself, but he's also probably going to by name insult every Republican who voted to impeach him in the House. He's going to by name, like, point at people. He's definitely going to say he's the least racist person in the Senate, in this room right now. and like, so, but I guess I'm just, I want it. I want it for the moments that we can see exactly what you just described, which is him debasing, defiling, and completely insulting everyone around him, the entire Democratic process, all of the Republicans who've been with him, and then have Lindsey Graham turn around and be like, innocent, you know, and just have that. I think would be, look, I'd campaign on that if I were trying to primary a Republican.
That does sound pretty good.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un*** the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un*** the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today, and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
President Donald Trump's new impeachment lawyers are apparently no strangers to seeing their names in headlines. David Schoen represented Roger Stone before Trump commuted his sentence and met with infamous convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein a few days before he committed suicide.
Totally
he says
normal.
Epstein was murdered. No word on whether the actual meeting with that guy was what led Epstein to kill himself. But Bruce Castor Jr. was the district attorney who declined to prosecute Bill Cosby back in 2004. So that's cool. In case you've forgotten about Roger Stone, former Trump advisor, he was convicted of 7 counts of lying to Congress and the FBI and witness tampering and sentenced to 40 months in prison. Stone was due to report to prison last July, but Trump commuted his sentence. That's one of my favorite parts of the entire Trump presidency, is this guy lied to everyone, messed with witnesses to protect the president, and then the president gets to just set him free. And we don't even talk about that anymore. How's that? That seems weird.
Whoa.
You're allowed to
this
do that?
This is the new team and Roger Stone's gonna be part of it?
No. Roger Stone's not actually on the team. Although,
oh, okay. This is just who knows, he was represented by.
Yes, he represented him, yes.
Okay.
But to get look, to give you an idea of what this guy Schoen is like, in a September 2020 interview, so this is just a few months ago, with the Atlanta Jewish Times, he called Stone a very bright, full of personality and flair sort of man, and described the case against him as very unfair and politicized. Like, they're not disputing any of the lies. Like, he told those lies, but it's just very unfair of you to have a problem with the fact that he lied, I guess. And anyway, this is what Schoen, this is literally the new lawyer. Here's what he says. I represented all sorts of reputed mobster figures, alleged head of Russian mafia in this country, Israeli mafia, and two Italian bosses, as well as a guy the government claimed was the biggest mafioso in the world. Reporter noted that Schoen had also worked with accused rapists, capital murderers, and international narcotics dealers. And it's all leading to this, defending the president.
This is your Christian leader. Like, this is your, you know, moral center. This is the future of everything that is good and Christian in this country. BS, utter BS. I mean, and like, just look at the people he associates himself with. And also, this is on brand. So look, if you're gonna have, stick with the brand, baby. Why not? Did he get those people off? Probably.
I mean, well, like, it is possible he could have been involved in Roger Stone sort of holding the line and not implicating the president even more directly than he does with his very nature. Maybe. Anyway,
I mean, it's interesting. He's gonna need. Yeah, I mean, he's gonna need someone who's defended rapists, because Trump is also facing a rape accusation currently. So
that's true.
Going forward, he will need that scumbags like him.
Yeah. Yeah, my only fear of doing this segment is the possibility that by the time this video goes live, these people might have quit too. I don't want to spread misinformation or old information, but we'll see.
This video's live, John. We're live.
Well, yes, that's also true.
People are watching this right now.
Francesca Fiorentini, the living embodiment of not yes anding. So we've had the details of Joe Biden's coronavirus stimulus bill, and now we've got the Republican counter proposal. And what do you know? It sucks. They've released new details of their roughly $618 billion coronavirus relief proposal, which is, I've run the numbers, and 618 is quite a bit less than 1.9 trillion. They have a round of $1,000 direct checks per adult that I'm sure we'll find out in a week is actually 400 new dollars and 600 that we gave before. But anyway, more details. In their proposed thing. Let's see. They've taken out what the Wall Street Journal calls the most contentious measures in their proposal. What, contentious because the Republicans don't like it? How many elections do they have to lose before the Wall Street Journal gets that? Just because Republicans in the Senate don't approve of something doesn't mean that's what the American people think. But anyway,
thank you.
They've taken out the funding for state and local governments, and they've also taken out an increase in the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And I understand that, like, one side pushing for an increase in the minimum wage and the other side trying to block. It's confusing, but, like, if I could simplify, it's that Republicans want your wages to be as low as possible. They've been consistent about that your entire life, and they're never going to change. They think that you get paid too much now. Trump even said in multiple debates in 2016, wages are too high. And somehow that's the right wing populist position, that people already make too much money. Sorry.
Yeah,
already make too much money.
It's almost like right-wing populism is just a stand-in for racism. But look, hey, what have I been doing but paying attention? Keep going, John.
Exactly. Okay, so the GOP plan also proposes scaling back the $1,400 per person check sought by Democrats, sought by some Democrats. Some of us want a lot more than that. To $1,000 per adult and $500 per dependent adult and child. They also, by the way, they want to target these even more than Biden was talking about. They want to start scaling back the size of the checks for individuals making more than $40,000 a year, and then getting rid of it entirely when you hit $50,000. So previously we've heard $70,000, $100,000. They're like, no, if you make slightly out of the minimum wage, like, we're gonna start to scale it out. They also have a less generous extension of unemployment insurance. Instead of $400 a week through September, they wanna give you $300 a week through June, which is in like 6 days. And so basically in every area possible, they are scaling it back and giving less.
Yeah. I mean, yes, of course, this is their worldview. This is Republicans. I mean, we've seen their plan, right? Which is to obstruct, 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 to to logjam everything in Congress to completely stop any progress from being made. And then, hey, in 4 years, run a complete and utter demagogue who promises that he alone can fix everything, even though he believes in a lower minimum wage, as you were saying. And then, hey, enact your Christian nationalist authoritarian state the way you've always wanted. And we basically had that for the last 4 years, and that is the plan. Ultimately, and I do want to say that the $15 an hour, we all know at this point, at this late date in the year 2021, should really be something like $25 an hour. And people like the Wall Street Journal and folks who are trying to honestly cover this, like you're saying, let's not get it twisted. This is not, if you're actually going to objectively cover something like the minimum wage, well, then why not look at history, look at the ways that the minimum wage has stagnated. Look at the ways that the working class has not gotten a raise since like the mid 80s, right? Like, look at the ways that, according to inflation, if you're so good with money and numbers, Wall Street Journal, look at that, if we were going by inflation, the minimum wage would be something like, I think almost like $40 an hour by this point. So I don't quote me on that, but it's definitely far more than 15, mm-hmm. something like 25, between 25 and 40. And so yeah, this is the game we all get sucked into, which is believing Republicans at their word and as if they are not just trying to hollow out Americans for everything they're worth. Meanwhile, again, corporations, major companies like Amazon, still making hand over fist billions of dollars of profit, not paying their share in taxes. I just want to tax the rich, man. I just, this is not good enough. This is not good enough. And the last thing I'll say is, it makes you realize that, first of all, $1.9 trillion is absolutely a good number, a huge number, and we should have put that forward. But also, the fact that they're going down to 618 billion Republicans are, but then when it comes to individual stimulus checks are going from 1400 to 1000, is just proof that Democrats should have asked for more. That maybe is the area that there is more agreement on, direct checks. So hey, why not ask for 2000? Why not ask for 3000? Whatever, if they're going to cut it in half the way they do.
Now that we have the Republican counter proposal on COVID stimulus, where they effectively want to give you basically nothing and would be perfectly happy to literally give you nothing, what's going to happen? Because there's all these calls for unity and bipartisanship and all that. And there are some Republicans, 10, who are going to be meeting with Joe Biden, and we know what Joe Biden is like. So is this a time where we should be prioritizing bipartisanship? Here is Bernie Sanders and what he thinks about this.
Arthur, we all want bipartisanship, and I think you're going to see more of it as we move down the pipe. But right now, this country faces an unprecedented set of crises. We have families who are watching this program right now who cannot feed their kids. We have millions of people who face eviction. We are in the midst of the worst pandemic in 100 years. We have got to act, and we have got to act now. You know what? I don't care what anybody says. We have got to deal with this pandemic. We have got to make sure that we are producing the vaccines that we need and get those vaccines into the arms of people. So the question is not bipartisanship. The question is addressing the unprecedented crises that we face right now. If Republicans want to work with us, they have better ideas on how to address those crises, that's great. But to be honest with you, I have not yet heard that.
Okay, that was good. Now look, admittedly, I'm not 100% with Bernie, because Bernie, he said in that interview, we got to get them the $1,400 checks. Like, he's seemingly okay with this new number that I understand it's a hill apparently that you can only die on, but they promised $2,000 checks if the Senate was won by the Democrats. That's what they promised, not $1,400 more dollars. But even more importantly than that, when we were talking about that, we talked about what the promise was, but what else did we talk about? We talked about how negotiations work. And if before the Republicans have even said anything, you're suddenly going lower, well then what do you know? You had promised 2000, but now you're saying 1400. Last week you said that might even be negotiable, and now the Republicans are saying 1000. So Did you ever want $2,000 total? Because your strategy seems to indicate that either you didn't, or you don't know how the Republicans work, or you don't know how negotiations work. But something fell apart. We're just sort of like, we have to be like Sherlock and figure out exactly what the failure point was. But this is mid-failure right now.
Yeah. Look, I absolutely think you're right. I think there's no reason we shouldn't have $2,000 checks, especially if that's what Democrats promised. But I also want to say there are things in this bill, the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, that will go far beyond an extra $400. Really, I mean, or $600. Seriously, like the fact that you were extending unpaid sick leave benefits for workers at larger companies who were excluded from the initial bills, that is huge. That is a big yes. difference. The fact that there is more money to states. Look, right now we have the vaccine and states have no idea how to roll them out. Literally none. They need funding. We've got states that are running out of unemployment money, right? States are how a lot of people get their unemployment, of course, and they're running out of that money. So money to states absolutely matters. I just think that it is sort of in this UBI or build a social welfare state debate that I think we're gonna see more and more of as we go forward. I am of the belief that UBI is really important, especially as things become completely automated and there just aren't that many jobs in the future that is only necessary. But at the same time, I don't think we should have UBI over dismantling the private healthcare system, right? The people who are gouging us, like what good is having a check if everything else around you is skyrocketing in price, if all these other industries are biting and chomping at the check that the government gives you, then there is no point of this. So I just want to sort of temper, like, you know, I can't do a complete cost benefit analysis right now for you, but there is one. And I trust that the people who are advocating on the progressive side of the Biden administration have done this.
Yeah, a couple final points that I want to make. One, you know, we've been through this whole pandemic, and we now know all of what Trump and the Republicans did and didn't do to produce the outcome we're at, where we just experienced in January where 95,000 Americans died. We came this close to hitting 100,000 Americans in one single month. And the fact that now, like, the position is, well, we want to make sure that people get as little aid as possible. Like, look, I value consistency in politics, and this is a position the Republicans have consistently had. But I will remind everyone, we had elections in no small part on this. A presidential election, Trump lost. Georgia sent two Democratic senators to flip control of the Senate. People voting in Georgia knew what they were doing. You know, they could have said, well, we just had a Democratic president, but now we want it to be like kind of split government. They said, no, the Republican position blows. We're gonna give you Democrats. So what are the Democrats going to deliver? And the GOP doesn't care if people continue to go hungry or get evicted or lose their house. They don't care about that. They've been very clear about that. They also don't care if the Democrats negotiate themselves down to a relief bill that will technically exist but won't solve the problem. People will still be suffering, and they're gonna remember that in the midterms when the Democrats get routed. The Republicans want that outcome. So we're waiting to see, do the Democrats understand that, and do they care about what is going to happen? Everything is lined up for as big of a stimulus bill as possible. You said what it was gonna be, and people voted in droves for it. They've already said they want it. You can check the approval ratings if you're starting to question it. It's overwhelmingly positive. So we have to see, is Biden going to do what's right?
And yes, and guess what else? You have a majority in the Senate. I know that you think you don't, but guess what? That tie-breaking vote, that is a very important vote. And you bet your ass that absolutely Republicans would have used that and would use that if they were in control right now. So use it.
100%. They were never hesitant about that. The anti-vaxxers haven't gone away, and now they're apparently getting increasingly frustrated that some large-scale vaccination sites are being set up, leading to protests. Not far from here, actually. Hundreds of cars were backed up at Los Angeles's Dodger Stadium this weekend after the coronavirus vaccination supersite temporarily shut down due to a few dozen anti-vax protesters. The site shut down for about 55 minutes, but no appointments were canceled. That is according to a spokesperson from Eric Garcetti's office, so, you know, Maybe we can trust that. But anyway, protesters carried signs that said, "Save your soul, turn back now. CNN is lying to you. Recall Gavin Newsom," which that's kind of funny. "Take off your," wait, but he just opened the state again. Why are they mad at him? He's like kind of doing their bidding. But anyway, "Take off your mask." Some handed out pamphlets to motorists who had their windows down. Some cars blared their horns as they drove by. One individual, German Jacques, says, "This is completely wrong." He'd driven from Laverne, says, "This is the wrong message. I've been waiting for weeks to get an appointment. I am a dentist. I'm taking a big risk being around patients. I want to be safe for my patients and for my family." We've got more information about the setup of this protest, but I'm assuming, you know, cynical Francesca, you're probably not surprised by the anti-vaxxers, but it sucks that all these people had to wait an additional hour because of a few dozen idiots.
Yeah, I mean, also just there's a privilege embedded in being able to. It takes a lot for someone to even just go wait for like the average wait times, you know, or at least an hour. So I've been in that line to get testing, and you're in a car, you're burning gas, you know, that's already it. You're taking your day. That's already a lot. And then you got the crazies from Facebook, because this was a Facebook organized event, because freedom of speech and stuff, I guess. And I would just want to point out that one of the signs at this protest said, "Let Bill Gates get the vaccine." I assume because, you know, they believe that this is an entire sort of Bill Gates hoax to put a microchip in our arms and track us. Yeah, Bill Gates got the vaccine. Okay, because he's a multi-billionaire, and also he donated $250 million to developing the vaccine, which I would argue is not enough. We need more of that mun, honey. So all the rich people who you think are controlling us are also getting the vaccine, but I'm sure you've got some sort of galaxy brain explanation for why they're immune, because their lizard scales are able to, you know, break apart the COVID, whatever it is in your melted little brain. It's very upsetting. I know we're gonna go into it, but I just want to say that like these are 50 people. These are like just a couple dozen people.
Yeah.
Where were the police? Why weren't the police breaking up this kind of demonstration? When they are like completely bringing down the full force of the LAPD on Black Lives Matter protesters who have been consistent outside of Eric Garcetti, our mayor's home. My solution is just put the vax sites in front of Garcetti's home. And then you just two birds, one stone it.
That would be pretty good. That's so frustrating. Like, because it's not like, it's not like they're protesting a city council meeting to mandate everyone has to get vaccinated. They're trying to stop people who are choosing to get themselves vaccinated.
Yeah.
So they're saying, "I want to make it harder for you to exercise autonomy over your body." And they think that that's perfectly fine because of something about Bill Gates. I don't know what the idea that you sketched out. I assume that's going to be one of your predictions for Marjorie Taylor Greene's next conspiracy theory, but. But anyway, I want to give you a little bit more information about the nature of these people. I mean, because after all, anti-vaxxer, that is a particular sort of conspiracy theorist that can come in multiple varieties. That's like an LA thing for like a long time. That's not necessarily super QAnon, Georgia, whatever. But anyway, let's give you a little bit of information about it. A post on social media described the demonstration as the Scamdemic protest march. Remember that video from last year? They still believe all that stuff. It advised participants to please refrain from wearing Trump or MAGA attire, as we want our statement to resonate with the sheeple. No flags, but informational signs only. And then this is a sharing information protest and march against everything COVID. Vaccine, PCR tests, lockdowns, masks, Fauci, Gates, Newsom, the entire country of China, digital tracking that I'm ignoring as I type this into my smartphone. They're against tests for COVID. They also said it's against COVID, so that's good. They don't believe it exists, but they're willing to protest against it. But they're against masks, literally just testing for the presence of the disease. And they're still out there. 95,000 people, half the population of my hometown died in January alone. And these people are like, okay, where's next protest? Let's do this thing.
I mean, there are no words, right? You have to We're 1 week and change into the Biden administration. And again, I think that leadership is so important right now. They're always going to be crazies. The problem was that there was one in the White House. And so if we can create better leadership from a national and a local level, I think that will trickle down. But it is very painful for people who've lost someone, for people who are losing work, for people who are sheltering with their families and kids who are unable to go to school, for people who want to get back to some kind of sense of normalcy, that these nut jobs, I'm sorry, but they're the reasons that we can't have nice things. These are the reasons that we like, there are super spreader events, that there are, you know, that people who are openly flaunting this. And let's just be real, people who have the time of in their day, they are not working on the front lines. They're not healthcare workers. They are not essential workers. No, they're probably retirees, or maybe they're independently wealthy. They're just people who've got time to go protest. Like, cool, I'm just gonna go, you know, take a day to go protest this vaccine site. I know it was a weekend, so maybe they took a break from their jobs. What do they do? Etsy? What do they sell? Like open mask, Etsy masks, you know, open face masks? I'm not sure. I don't know. What do you do as an anti-vaxxer? I guess.
Honestly, probably all sorts of stuff. That's the thing. With all of these, it's everyone. I mean, those people who storm the Capitol, they're CEOs and they're all sorts of things. Like Marjorie Greene, like she owned like a contracting company, I think. And she's the craziest person you ever met in your life. So
I do think, anyway, I just want to say, I think we need some sort of like crazy swap, where like, because it's hard to talk to your own family and friends who have been like sucked into conspiracy theories. But if we had some sort of exchange program, you know, where we can like, you know, you get someone else's aunt, and then you get someone else's uncle, and then you have to talk them off the ledge. It's much less personal, and I think it could be more effective. So I would like the Biden administration to look into that.
I think you should produce that as a special for like MSNBC. I think that'd be actually fascinating, and they might actually go for it. That's not a bad idea. I like that. Strife swap, I think we'd call it.
Strife.
But anyway, so sure, Trump botched pretty much everything having to do with the pandemic, but he did try to make sure that we had a vaccine. And I know that because he tried to take credit for it every chance he possibly could. He was talking about it constantly. Kayleigh McEnany was calling it the Trump vaccine. Like that was supposed to just end our concerns. Okay, sure, you didn't care, you lied about it, you talked about bleach and stuff like that. But hey, you put a little bit of money in the vaccine and we've actually got it. But unfortunately, it's looking more and more that like once it was invented, he pretty much lost interest in it. I mean, he was even openly tweeting things like the federal government has distributed the vaccine to the states. Now it's up to the states to administer. Get moving. But like that's not done. Like you don't just send the first shipment to the states and then you're good. But unfortunately, like this is from December 16th. Trump has barely said anything about the COVID-19 vaccine rollout he has long promised. And look, I think many people in December, especially considering that we were in, you know, in the thick of the legal challenges, the election, everything, most people were probably fine to have Trump sort of tune out on all that. But it wasn't just, it's looking more and more like he was just not talking about it, but that he just wasn't paying any attention, because we've now got a new problem with the vaccine. And that is that Biden's team is trying to get a firm grasp on the whereabouts of more than 20 million doses of vaccine that the federal government apparently bought and distributed to states, get moving, but has yet to record as being administered to patients. So we don't know where those are, if they're currently sitting somewhere. Maybe they were found and they were distributed. Maybe they never actually existed. Maybe they were never actually sent to the states. Only a very small percentage of those unaccounted for doses, roughly 2 million, are due to lags in data reporting, because there's always a little bit of a lag in terms of when we find out about what was done with particular sort of amounts of the vaccine. But the rest of it could be boxed away in warehouses. It could be sitting in freezers somewhere, floating around the distribution pipeline, which is, let's just admit, that is not what you want for enough vaccine doses to fully inoculate 10 million people. They're just out there somewhere and we have no idea where. And lots of people, 3,000 to 4,000 people, are still dying every single day.
They pocketed it. Come on. You telling me they didn't pocket it on their way out to be like, we gotta pay for legal fees? You know, like a country's gotta, you know, host me when this is all over, and I gotta, you know, I have to leave. So it's, I think, being sold to a few Russian oligarchs who are interested, or I don't know, but I, Mar-a-Lago is all I'm trying to say. No, but look, it is awful that this has happened, that like this was his job. His job was to be president. His job was to roll out this vaccine. And I just want to say that like 31 million people as of yesterday had received at least one dose, or one dose of the vaccine, but only 6 million people have received both doses. And it's been more difficult to get your second appointment and to figure out, you know, is anyone following up with you? It turns out, no, not really. And now we're talking about, well, can you swap vaccines? Maybe you can like use a Pfizer and then a Moderna. Like, it is a disaster. And for Biden, the Biden administration's best intentions, it's a disaster. And not only this, but we also know that Trump didn't then buy more vaccines to guarantee more supply deep into the summer, and he could have.
Exactly. And I mean, those numbers, the drop off from one dose to two dose, we've been doing the vaccine now for slightly more than a month, which means you have weeks of people who got the first shot, and now are they gonna get a second shot? I don't know. And so what does that mean? Like, are they walking around with some protection, but not as much? Are they walking around with protection that's gonna drop off sooner than it's supposed to?
Right.
It's just such a disaster. And like, I wanna go to this one last graphic, because this ties, remember like between the election and the inauguration, we were talking about the fact that they weren't talking to the Biden administration, how that's not just like a little tiff like in high school, that actually matters.
Yep.
The Biden transition had only received high level briefings on the distribution effort in the run up to the inauguration on January 20th, and was largely kept out of detailed discussions about the on the ground operation. But they're saying they're left out of those discussions. That's assuming the discussions were even happening. Maybe if they had been looped in more, they could have started doing the work that maybe wasn't even being done. And we've talked a lot about like all of the failures of the Trump administration. I understand Trump is not the only president that's failed on things, even big things. Every president has. You really have to ask yourself, at what point has a president willfully failed to an extent that it should obviously be illegal? Like, I get that Trump is being impeached over the sixth, but like, how is this not 1,000 times worse?
Absolutely.
People are dying left and right because they didn't give a damn to save their lives. And it's not just a policy disagreement. We've known this for months and months. They're letting these people die. How is that legal? No. And it's a crazy time, I get it. But like, we're just gonna let them off, and not just Trump. He's not the only person involved in this. Mike Pence was in charge of this. Jared Kushner was involved. Scott Atlas was their big advisor. How are they allowed to kill this many people, and they're just gonna go write a book or something now? How is that allowed?
Amen, John. No, it's sheer criminality. And I really do think that there should be some sort of accountability. There should be a criminal case against all of the people that you mentioned. The last thing I wanna say about the bungled rollout of the vaccine, and just how awful it is, and how sort of cruel it is that we've talked about the countries that are not going to be seeing a lick of this vaccine for another year. The countries that are receiving sort of a, you know, very, very limited supply for maybe their like top diplomats and presidents, right? But that the general population is not going to be vaccinated for a year, right? Or more. And these are countries, they might be poorer countries, but they're also countries that have better functioning governments that actually, if they had the vaccine, would know how to distribute it. Why? Because they're also countries that have a national healthcare program, that have some kind of universal coverage, and have some kind of state that hasn't been completely and utterly hollowed out by capitalist vultures. So all I'm saying is like, it's ridiculous that this country, the richest, the most, like, you know, 300 and whatever, 60 million people, right? The most deaths in the world per capita but not because the virus has been worse here, but because our leadership has not been able to handle it, because our leadership has actively been turning a blind eye, because they're involved in our own death because of their ineptitude, and because of the ineptitude of everyday people saying, no, I'm not gonna wear a mask, I don't believe in this. And yet, we're still the country that gets the vaccine first. And yet, we still have that privilege. Wow, wow.
It's like the ultimate insult to every other country. Like what percentage of the country contributed to this failure? Like way more than any past national failure, where it was just our politicians or just the military or whatever, just Wall Street. Like this was a big flash mob of, let's see how many people we can get killed. Over the last week or so, Marjorie Taylor Greene's various conspiracy theories have been bubbling back up, having to do with Jewish space lasers and wanting to shoot Nancy Pelosi in the head. And she believes that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a clone and all of that stuff. But I want to remind you of one of the core ones that she has never repudiated is going to be pretty clear from this short little clip.
Sources like, he's anonymous, Q is anonymous, but he seems to be completely for the good. He seems to be totally on Trump's side, and he seems to be very high up and connected. So because of those things, I'm becoming more hopeful, and I'm not being as pessimistic, and I'm trying to stop saying it's never gonna happen, because I really think it might happen. So I'm very excited about that. Now, there's a once in a lifetime opportunity to take this global cable of Satan worshiping pedophiles out. And I think we have the president to do it. And so I'm very excited about that.
Okay, super fast little check there. She means cabal. This is what comes from just reading things online and having no idea what the words actually mean. But anyway, that was, let's just be clear. That was just, I believe Q is real. I believe everything Q says. And it just like, it makes me feel optimistic that like there's a chance they're gonna do the great storm and they're gonna round up all these people I hate and murder them all. It makes me feel a little bit happier about the fact that they're gonna execute all the pedophiles. So she doesn't talk about Q openly anymore, but she has never actually repudiated it. And that is what she believes. That video, which is the exact same video as any number of, you know, like 40-year-old blonde moms uploaded to Facebook over the past couple of years.
Yeah,
that's who she is. She is every bit as crazy and uninformed and just eager for massive bloodshed as all of those other people. And like the other conspiracy theories draw your eye, because you know, they're like, you know, lasers and stuff. But she fully believes that Q is a real person, really embedded, and the government is actually full of satanic pedophiles. That is still who she is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Meanwhile, I feel like there's a lot of actual pedophiles who are like, there's a cable station of pedophiles? Why am I late to the party? I'm just joking, obviously. No, look, it's a little bit of a like, do you believe the big lie that, you know, Trump actually won instead of Biden? That everyone should be asking Marjorie Taylor Greene if she believes in Q constantly and always. Like that main, anyone who's got access to her, ask her about Q. You know, anyone who has access to Ted Cruz, I don't care what you have to say about the stimulus bill. Okay, like I said, seditionist says what? Do you believe that Trump won or not? Okay, great. Are you in agreement with storming the Capitol or not? Okay, great. Do you realize that your vote basically affirmed what they were standing for as well on that same day? Cool. Like, these are things we can't move past. This is not like, you know, well, I like potatoes and you like French fries or whatever. Those are, you know what I'm saying? This is potato, Jewish space station laser, you know? That's not equivalent.
Different.
Very different. This is not you can't go bipartisan with, once again, as AOC and the squad have said, people who literally want you dead. Or who would actively encourage someone trying to kill you?
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, like you brought up the big lie and everything. She still says Trump won. She had a mask that says Trump won. Like she still believes that, and she's still saying that. And you know, does it matter if she truly believes it or not? She seems to me like a true believer. Like I looked at that video, that's a legitimate crazy person talking to you right there. But more importantly, because there are many Republicans who believe that she's someone we should listen to and care about. Her continuing to say that Trump actually won is going to inspire more of the exact same sort of thing that happened on January 6th. So that's great. And she's still out there, and can't wait to find out what happens with her talk with Kevin McCarthy this week. You know, I'm sure it's gonna shake things up. But that's who she is. She is everybody as crazy as we have said, and it's not just like that. We've found out that she's crazy. We've delved and found it. She was recording and putting out those videos, trying to become famous for the crazy things that she believed. She spent tons of time and work to let people know that she was crazy. And now she tries to distance herself a little bit, but that is still who she is. And I don't even think that that's gonna last. Because I think, look, she's getting the attention now. I think that people like Madison Cawthorn and Lauren Boebert are looking at that and salivating over that attention. And so I can only speculate as to what insane stuff they're gonna say and do to try to get the spotlight onto them. But this is going to be an arms race like between those people. So like, do we think that she's not gonna be openly putting a Q on her website or like waving a Q flag for her reelection? Why shouldn't she? She's probably gonna be primaried by someone even crazier than she is. And so she's gonna have to reassure all of the crazies that she does believe that stuff.
No, I'm very torn about whether, you know, covering it is only just gassing it and inflating it more. But I do think that someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene is not hiding behind sort of like BS right-wing populist talking points. Like, she's not really talking about, you know, healthcare or jobs. She's not even really talking about radical socialists. She just does have these, like, none of these statements are at all related to policy. They're just cuckoo. And I think it's really important to ask the Republican Party, so are you with cuckoo? Like, is this you, bro? Like, or is this not you? And Kevin McCarthy hasn't spoken up. No one's spoken up except for Mitt Romney on Twitter to say, no, this isn't us. But that is the question. One, do you believe in Q? Are you part of this conspiracy theory? Is that your party now? Right? And do you understand what that actually means? Do you believe that the Clintons were murderers? Like, let's get some things right here.
Well, and make clear of the actual ramifications. It's like do you believe in Q is one thing. Are you looking forward to the rounding up and mass execution of your political opponents? Is that what you're waiting for? Because that is like, Q is a bunch of stuff, but that is the heart of it. It is the intense burning lust for everyone you either despise or have been trained to fear. People in politics, in the economy, Chrissy Teigen, all of them need to be rounded up and murdered. No, literally, like, they think that Chrissy Teigen eats babies. That was like, she left Twitter because so many people were tweeting her about the fact that she apparently eats babies. So everyone that they hate needs to be rounded up and executed. That is literally the core of the entire Q thing. Does she still long for that? Is that something she wants? Is that something Kevin McCarthy wants to be affiliated with?
Yeah.
And apparently yes, because he ain't doing nothing about it and he knows all of this.
How much do you have to hate Tom Hanks, honestly? What did Tom Hanks ever do to you? Go watch Forrest Gump, okay? Calm down, sit down. It's a great movie, still holds up.
Castaway.
Why would you hate this? Anyway, stop being jealous.
I don't get it. I don't get it. And I know people are saying like, hey, but the whole name thing. Yeah, I know. I don't care enough to actually be consistent on it. We'll call her whatever, I don't care. Welcome to our top 10 upcoming Marjorie Greene conspiracy theories. The only conspiracy theories she hasn't yet been proven to believe in, but is probably coming around the bend. I'm Johnny Arola. Francesca Fiorentini is here. How's it going, Francesca?
What's going on?
Always glad to have you here for this.
Yeah, this is a fun one.
I think it's gonna be. So if you're watching this, you are one of our YouTube members of tier 2 or tier 3. And every week on Monday, we do a different top 10 list, sometimes about politics or the news of the day, sometimes just about stuff for funsies. So this one's a little bit more tied into what's been going on, because obviously Marjorie Greene believes whatever you put on the internet. Just write something down, she will read it and instantly base her entire life on it. Unless it's like climate science or something. But anyway, she believes some crazy stuff. That said, we like a challenge, so we're gonna try to get out in front of the next week or so of coverage of her and figure out what some of the upcoming ones are. We've each got five. Francesca, would you like to go first with your number five?
So she hasn't really openly said this, but I definitely think she thinks COVID is not real. Like she's already been resistant to wearing a mask. All of her masks just say Trump won. It's one of the conspiracy theories she believes in.
Or censored,
right. She, I believe during the lockdown was one of the lockdown on January 6th when, you know, Congress was fearing for their lives, was one of the people making fun of people handing out masks. I think that was her. I think she probably thinks COVID was created in a Chinese lab. That is, it's pretty, like, I think it'll come out soon. It is somehow not a far-fetched one for where I'm going. But that is definitely my number one, is we're gonna find out. She doesn't think, if she thinks it's real, fine. But she definitely thinks it was created by the Chinese.
Okay. I don't have a COVID one, but if I did, it would be simultaneously, she believes that it was created in a lab by China and that it doesn't exist. I think she believes both of those things.
Oh, those are very happily married somehow. And we still shouldn't take it seriously because of it was created in a lab by China, right? So somehow.
So my number five is an aspirational one. This is one some I think are more likely to be true. This one I just want to be true. So I want one of her little vlogs where she just like talks to the camera. And I want it to be about how she believes that the earth is actually flat. I want a flat earth vlog so bad because, and this is, I want to burn away some of the last bits of total John naivete. And I believe that for better or worse, the only conspiracy theory that almost everyone can agree is too crazy to believe is that the earth is flat. Like somehow, believing that Hillary Clinton barbecues babies, more people are into that. And they're like, oh, yeah, totally plausible. Yeah, every Democrat eats babies. That is more plausible than the earth is this shape instead of this shape. And so if she came out with that, maybe that'd get through to people.
I mean, have you ever seen The Edge? I haven't. So you tell me. Well, I'm not saying it's completely flat. Obviously, there's a little bit of a dome. But it's not doesn't go all the way around.
No, it's coming. What's your number four?
Okay. God, it's like I don't know what order we're doing this in, so I'm just gonna keep going. Let's see. Jesus built Stonehenge.
Why?
Well, why not? And actually, the cross is a symbol of the stones. He was trying to make them into a cross. Anyway, he was there. He was there at Stonehenge and he built them with the help of the dinosaurs.
Well, definitely. Who else is gonna drag them?
Yeah. He rode the dinosaurs and instructed them where to put the Stonehenge. And it was sort of like, you know, giving clues to future humans. It actually spells out Jesus in Arabic if you look at it right.
Which she refuses to read because that's the devil's tongue.
That is the devil's tongue.
I want her to investigate the mysteries of Stonehenge. I want to give her sheets of paper and crayons, and I want her to just do numbers and stuff. Anyway, I almost had a Jesus one. My theory was that she's gonna somehow be that like Jesus was for guns, and the reason they had to like nail his hands down was so he couldn't reach for his side piece. But anyway, so my number four is a lot of her conspiracy theories, and a lot of conspiracy theories are not wanting to believe things that would be inconvenient for your worldview. So the shootings are all fake. Because if all these shootings are happening, that's bad for the gun people. So instead, they're fake. That way, it's not bad for the gun people. So we also know that she believes that the wildfires aren't getting worse because of climate change. It's because of them Jews and their space lasers. So I want something to do with the worsening hurricanes. And I know not only what it is, but I know how I want it to go down. I want her to be watching trashy TV and get really drunk on cheap boxed wine. And then I want her to not realize it's the TV switching over to the Truman Show. And I want her to watch that and think, oh, Hollywood's making the storms. I saw it on a documentary. So that's it. Hurricanes are fake and they're made up by Steven Spielberg. That's your theory.
That is, first of all, I also had a Truman Show sort of similarity and parallel, because that's exactly what it is. That like these folks believe, man, if only, you know what I mean? If only it were that simple. It just, if only it were so simple as, so yeah, there's a guy who controls everything, you know? And in an extension, like kind of what a lot of religion believes. But anywho, we'll leave that for another time. But yes, definitely something is causing the storm surges. So like, yeah, I do think this is, let's see. No, I climate change is one of them. She totally believes that it was, you know, that it's being, first of all, she's gonna talk about the weather machine that the Jews control. You realize that that is a conspiracy that's out there. That somehow there's a weather machine that Jewish people control.
That one of mine later on is gonna tie into that, but yeah.
She's getting, she's skirting into that territory already with the laser thing. Okay, here's what I think. She thinks that aliens already live amongst us, and whenever one visits, the men in black come and flashy thing you.
Is it another documentary she saw?
It is another documentary. That she absolutely caught midday on MTV.
Stars.
On Stars. definitely there's some alien stuff. You know, she might be an Area 51er, which, you know, that's fine. But she's, there's gonna be something with aliens. And I don't know, maybe there's, I feel like the right wingers aren't that into the aliens. I feel that feels more like a not even a left thing. It's just a little, it's for some reason that's
the crazy
and it's
thing.
The one that I'm the most like interested in. I'm like, yeah, I could see that. The coolest one is that aliens have already come to Earth.
The religious people don't want to think about other worlds as much, because then it's like, well, why didn't Jesus do anything over there? I think that throws it off of them. But my number three is actually kind of related to yours. And I'm even willing to add the alien thing. So at first I was gonna say, I just want a lizard people video, because she definitely believes that some people, probably Jewish people, are lizard people. It doesn't have to be lizard people though. Maybe she, like Alex Jones, thinks that people are inhabited by demons. Maybe she thinks that aliens are walking amongst us. But I'm not satisfied with her just thinking those things exist. This is a fun one that I think we can all get involved in. I want her to believe that a particular person is a lizard or a demon or maybe a vampire. I think we need to start laying the falsified Photoshop evidence to make her think that like Maxine Waters is a vampire. I want to see if we can get Marjorie Greene to walk around the Capitol building, not just with her gun, but with strings of garlic around her neck. Because it can't be that hard to get her to believe this stuff. And is Maxine Waters is a vampire? Is that crazier than RBG is a clone? I think they're roughly the same. So let's start laying the groundwork.
I gotta say, to be fair, if I were ever in Congress, I would string garlic boughs around my neck just to ward off Ted Cruz. Like, he's the son of Dracula. Look at him. I don't care what he's done with his facial hair. You know, look, they're all bloodsuckers. You better bring some garlic in there if you're gonna survive. I think that's a great one. Here's the thing, and I know I don't want to get too serious, but I just want to say that there's been a lot of investigation into Q, right? And there's a lot of like, where did this come from? Blah blah blah. A lot of people have been tying it to like Mike Flynn, and like there was a recent Vice documentary that was basically like, Q is probably an op. Like Q is probably a psyop operation, right? Like, you know, not real, but designed to basically trick people, convince them of some crazy ass stuff. And yeah. I think it's funny. We sort of joke about like, oh, we could float like this other thing. Like, that's not a bad idea. Clearly, whoever invented Q knew that everyone's brains were so supple that they could just invent some random BS and then it would create a movement, right? Like literally, if that is what it takes, I don't know, can we create another lettered person, but who believes in like healthcare? Like what is this?
R.
Yeah, exactly.
R is back.
R.
Yeah.
Medicare.
Is that your number two, that we're going to get a dueling letter?
No, my number two is not just that the moon landing didn't happen. That's basic. We all know that. But the moon itself is not real. Okay? Mm-hmm. The moon,
what is it?
Was invented by George Soros Senior. Have you noticed that there aren't any good pictures of the moon before the 1960s? I wonder why that is.
Oh my God, it would be delivered with such confidence though.
Right? Yeah.
What is it?
Well, look, so the Jews that control the weather, obviously, they say the moon controls the tides. Well, if the moon controls the tides, then who controls the moon? Soros.
I don't know.
Putting the pieces together.
Tides come in, tides come out. Q can't explain that. That's pretty good. You know, I kind of want to bump one up, but I'm gonna leave it for a little bit later. That's a good one.
A little bit later, how many more do we?
Two. She definitely doesn't believe in the moon landing. Oh God, that's one that's never gonna go away. There are gonna be people someday in a Starbucks on the moon arguing that the moon landing didn't happen. But yes. Anyway, my number two is going to be her inevitable self-coronation as Q. And there's two different ways that this could go down. One is she could be the, like, she's dim. But what if she just realized any one of us could just claim to be Q? And the first one to do it wins. I don't know why somebody hasn't done it.
All around.
Q is everywhere. And Q definitely isn't actually a person in the government. So why not just claim that you are? And you don't even have to like really explicitly say it. You can just start really dropping hints that you're Q. And they will believe you. Why not do it? The other way.
There's a lot of Q real estate. Yes, keep going.
Oh no, sorry. What were you going to say?
Oh, I think there's a lot of Q real estate to be hogged up. And especially if some of these prophecies aren't coming to fruition. Like, I think it's a very interesting study to look at how religions in the past, when like things didn't bear out the way that they thought they would, like how they've then corrected to make it seem like they were right all along, where it's like, well, Q's not really a person. It's more of an entity that lives in all of us. And it's like, I think we've heard that one before. You know, Q is everywhere. Like, okay.
Yeah, it definitely has to adapt. And why not with her? Like, she is now the most famous person who believes it totally. So just do it. And the other one is that, like, I don't know, maybe she is Q. Like, who honestly knows? It definitely isn't a person in government. It is some rando. She's a rando. There's like at least a 1 in 1,000 chance she is actually Q anyway. So for whichever reason she should claim it, just do it. It'll work. They're all stupid. What's your number one?
Okay, before I get my number one, I know we have to do this quickly, but I just want to say this merits a longer conversation about conspiracy theorists generally, right?
Yeah.
And just like where the F they come from. And I want to say that in all of the stuff that she's said that makes no sense, literally everything she said, the one thing that she said that actually makes sense is that she rattles off like, you know, and then we went to fight the war in Iraq and destabilized the Middle East. But also the Clintons murdered blah, 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 blah. And it's like, whoa. Wait a minute. That's actually something that is not untrue. And I think it's really interesting that like so much of this conspiracy stuff started sort of when it was proven that like so much of our like security and militarized state were going along with like a bunch of these wars that were not benefiting the American people or the people abroad. People are coming back with like, you know, horrible PTSD, death, etc. So like there is this and that Trump was like against the war supposedly, even though he then said he would have just taken all the oil. But there's this like pseudo anti-interventionist line here that I feel like it's all this sort of Bannon-esque like deep state stuff, super isolationist that I kind of understand. Like I understand why you would think all those things, but like,
yeah.
It's interesting. I'm sort of just like analyzing and probably having way too much empathy for her like bizarro worldview. But that is the
You're
one
a good
thing.
Person to a fault.
Yes, exactly.
I'm trying to understand good. It.
I'm too good is what I'm trying to say. Okay, what the hell was my number one? Number one is, okay, I've got all that. Okay, so you know how last week tonight has floated the idea that Mary-Kate and Ashley
yes,
Olsen are actually the same person?
I do.
I think Marjorie's gonna jump on that and then reclaim it. And then John Oliver's gonna be like, oh crap.
No.
Damn it, what have I done? And then there's gonna be all these articles written like, has satire gone too far? Because Marjorie Taylor Greene is straight up gonna be like, I was watching another one of my documentaries and a man in glasses with a British accent said that Mary-Kate and Ashley have been fooling us this whole time.
This talking bird on the TV told me that, yeah. Alternatively, she could claim to be the second twin. Why not? Why not at this sure. point, honestly? Jesus. Okay, that's a good one. By the way, I can't wait to see what John Oliver makes of her because he has to talk about her in the first one.
Of course.
But anyway, my number one is, it is sort of a combination of my most serious one and the one I think that's most likely. So mine is, it is a slightly broad category, and I like to call it more stuff about Jewish people, whatever, just anything and everything, but it's about Jewish people because there ain't a conspiracy theory in the world that if you scritchy scratch deep enough, does it get to Jewish people eventually?
Scritchy scratch.
All about.
Sadly.
And so the climate denial is about Jewish people. I mean, at the end of the day, is Q something about Jewish people? It's all gonna end up. Maxine Waters was turned into a vampire when she was bit by George Soros's grandpappy. Everybody knows that. It's all Jewish people. And because the thing is, she is not just a regular crazy person. She is a regular person. She's a crazy person tinged with the flavor of Christianity. It's like Cool Ranch. It's a particular type and there are patterns. And
oh, don't sully ranch like that.
Well, I mean, that also is a big part of their cuisine down there. So crazy Christian people, like, let's keep it real. That generally comes back to anti-Semitism eventually. And so she's sort of, I think, savvy enough that she gets, she would rather use accusations of anti-Semitism to attack her political opponents. Like she'll use it against members of the squad and stuff. But you know, lurking underneath, she's one of those Christians that thinks about like looks like approvingly towards when Israel's gonna be destroyed during the end times and everything. Like this one isn't so, but I understand this one isn't that fun. So let's say the Jews invented diabetes or split ends or something. I don't know, what do women like her worry about?
It doesn't have to be fun and it is really, it's real and it's bringing up a lot of interesting questions around in the Jewish community and in like the Beltway Jewish community of lobbyists who are seeing, you know, there's like a Republican organization of Jews who's like speaking out against Marjorie Greene. And there are people who are falsely making an equivalence between people who criticize the Israeli occupation and the open anti-Semitism that Marjorie Greene spouts. Now, the ironic thing about that is that, you know, Netanyahu is the first person to congratulate Donald Trump on winning his presidency, right? The day that he was elected, a Jewish cemetery was defaced, right? Like these, there is nothing that is at odds with being for a very militarized pro-occupation Israeli state, right? In its, you know, and being incredibly anti-Semitic. And absolutely part of that like crazy Christian, you know, prophecy is the idea that we have to protect Israel until the end times, in which case, you know, Jews who don't convert will be, you know, destroyed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So exactly. It is very insidious. And I think that, you know, taking our leadership right now from like progressive Jewish organizations who are against the occupation, but are obviously, you know, for Israel's right to exist, and who are against this kind of anti-Semitism is really important. And it's, and man, Democrats need to step up on this issue too.
I agree. Yeah, I think they're very scared.
Yeah.
Of taking a position that will cause them to be called anti-Semitic, even though she's going to be spreading stuff about them making up diabetes. But anyway, that was a fun one, Francesca. Thank you for engaging
with that.
That
was great. Yeah.
Can't wait to check in and see how many of these end up being accurate. I think we've got a few that there's a good shot. But anyway, as always, Francesca, thank you. And thank you to everybody for being YouTube members. You know, you supporting the show and the network in this way lets us keep doing what we obviously enjoy doing. And so we like to give back a little bit. And this is something that you'll be able to rely on going forward on Mondays. Thank you again. And until the next time, see you soon. Equality, equity, these are not values that were really high on the former president's priority list. But now we have a new president, and perhaps we have an opportunity for some progress in these areas. But how likely is that, and what forms would it actually come in? We're very lucky to be joined on the show today by political strategist and racial equity expert Ajua B. Asamoah. Welcome to the Damage Report.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
We're very glad to have you on. And we wanted to start off with a little bit of definitional work. So equality and equity, how are these related? How are they different?
So we know that race is a social construct, but racism is undeniable. And we must be very intentional about eradicating it. Racial equity acknowledges and seeks to right those historic wrongs. Africans, as you likely know, have endured an unconscionable middle passage, dehumanizing enslavement, brutality, torture, family separation, and you name it, and we have endured it, followed by government sanctioned oppression known as Jim Crow. And so in order to sort of level the playing field, if you will, we must acknowledge those historical wrongs. And so when we talk about racial equity, we are talking about tackling systemic institutional racism, which again requires us to acknowledge what has happened historically in order for us to then move forward. In short, equality means essentially giving everybody the same thing. But if we're trying to, for example, see over a fence and we, you know, you're taller than I am, and we give each other, you know, we are both given the same size stool, well, then it's just continuing to perpetuate the inequity. So it would require us to give me the stool that I need to see over the fence while giving you the same thing.
So you talked about some of the history that's led us to where we're at right now. And literally nothing you said is controversial to any serious person who has done even 5 minutes of research. And yet there are a lot of people, some with very large audiences in media, some are politicians, who don't really seem to agree on much of that, or at the very least, they don't agree on what it means. Like, sure, slavery happened, but they seem to have this interesting idea of what it was actually about. Can we advance unless we fix that? Or is it okay for some people to sort of stubbornly refuse to accept the past? How do we deal with the fact that there's so many people that don't seem to get the very basic stuff you were just saying?
Well, you're not going to be able to convince everybody that racial equity is the way to go. Unfortunately, when you are on the receiving end of privilege, you think that somebody else advancing means that you by default are, you know, have something taken away. So we should start from the basic premise that not everybody understands racial equity or seeks to advance it. However, what we know is that in order for us to truly be a more just society, we are going to have to think about this in the context of equity versus equality in order for us to actually progress and to ensure that liberty and justice for all is actualized. So not everybody is going to agree. It doesn't require agreement. It requires us to be intentional about advancing racial equity.
So I certainly want to talk about some of the different forms that could take, some things that might be done. But before that, just to lay the groundwork, we now have Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, that's the new administration. Based on what you've seen, what you've been exposed to, how much of this does that administration understand? Are they right there with you on what we need to understand and what we need to do?
I would argue yes. I think that we all saw that the Biden-Harris administration has made a significant noteworthy down payment on advancing racial equity. Day one, there was an executive order, to advance racial equity that required government agencies to review their plans to ensure that there were policies and procedures that actually advance racial equity. We saw that our new president rescinded the 1776 commission, which essentially seeks to whitewash, you know, history and make enslavement seem like it was a necessary evil. We also saw our current president reverse the order that banned training around racial equity, diversity, and inclusion. So I would say yes. One thing that I was proud to work on, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the administration, but I did have the pleasure of working on the campaign, was there were racial equity plans embedded throughout all of the policies. And so with that, I would say yes, we are certainly on the right road to advancing racial equity.
And you know, I know during the primary, Joe Biden was criticized pretty heavily on some topics in terms of past policy that he's championed that ties in this area. Obviously, his support for the crime bill, some other things like that. Do you feel like, based on your experience with the team, that he has actually learned, that he's brought in people that really do understand this issue?
I think that this administration will in fact advance racial equity. Again, I talked about the executive order, one of multiple executive orders that have already been signed that serve as a down payment on it. Now, I'll be just candid. I, you know, think there's lots more to go, and I don't think that anyone would argue that that's not the case. But in terms of, you know, being not even a full 2 weeks in, I think that there has been an intentional effort to make good on those promises. And I think with the rescission of those executive orders that were, you know, rooted essentially in this concept that racial equity does not matter, I think that we're moving in the right direction. So yes, I do.
Okay. So you were talking there where you said that racial equity was considered for all of these different areas. And generally, when politicians talk about equity, if they do, because that's something they often talk about, they talk about criminal justice, policing, or jails, very specific focus on this sort of thing. What are some other major areas that you think we need to be thinking about, and we need to be thinking about through the lens of the quest for equity?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's far more than just policing and criminal justice reform. Educational equity, for example, is an area that we really need to focus on advancing racial equity. During the Obama-Biden era, there was an intentional effort to address, for example, the school-to-prison pipeline. There was a joint Dear Colleague letter that was issued by the Department of Justice as well as the Department of Education, warning school districts about suspending black and brown children in ways that were disproportionate. Essentially, we saw Betsy DeVos come in and rescind those, you know, that the progress that was made, and said that, you know, that's not really a thing. And so educational equity, for one example, economic justice is key. We also have the need to, you know, ensure that we are removing barriers where access to educational attainment, unencumbered access, for example, to quality and affordable healthcare, and then also acknowledging that we need economic empowerment. So those are just some of the areas in which we need to be thinking about as we work towards advancing racial equity.
Okay, and certainly, I mean, these are a lot of incredibly consequential areas we'll certainly be watching. I did want to also ask you about another project that you've worked on recently though, and that is the Crown Act. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely, thank you for asking the question. It is something that I'm extremely proud of. So essentially what the Crown Act does, it provides protection for citizens and people to ensure that they can wear their hair in a way that is consistent with who they are, their own identity. People think that our hair is covered, protection for our hair is covered under the current classification of race, but it is not. So what the Crown Act does is it again acknowledges that race is a social construct, but that racism is very real. And so in these different states that we've worked to pass the bill in, we've said, well, whatever you think race is, amend the definition of race to include the traits that are historically associated with it, such as hair and hair texture. So whether your hair is natural like mine is today, but blown out, or if you're, you know, rocking braids, twists, locks, Bantu knots, for example, your right to rock your crown however you see fit is protected. We know that far too many students have missed valuable instruction time and school time for their decision to wear their hair that is, you know, consistent with who they are and their own cultural pride because of these unjust rules. And so again, this movement is about not just shifting culture, but also shifting policy, and the Crown Act does just that.
So we on the show, we talk about a lot of issues, and I try to understand different sides of the issues. What what's the other side of this? I mean, obviously the discrimination exists. So clearly there are people who are opposed to it. But when you go into a state and you try to pass this, what's the argument against it?
The argument is, or has been, and I, you know, whether or not it's valid, you can sort of flip a coin on that front. The argument is some people think that our hair is not clean. So the old, you know, racist and in many ways sexist tropes that we've seen are part of this argument. And they'll argue that we shouldn't be able to wear our hair in ways that we desire because it's against, you know, safety regulations, which this bill does not touch. So OSHA trumps, no pun intended, you know, all of the Crown Act itself. Because if you're working in an industry that requires you to wear a hairnet, then you wear a hairnet, but you can wear a hairnet with your braids or with your locks or with your twists. So there is no valid argument for why you shouldn't provide protection and prohibit discrimination based on the issue of hair. There is no valid argument, but some think that, you know, you won't fit into the quote unquote culture of a particular industry if you wear your hair in ways that people don't necessarily understand or think are deemed professional. So we are challenging all of that. We are challenging the fact that there are very Eurocentric standards of beauty. We are arguing on behalf of the coalition that the African aesthetic must be lifted for far too long. It has not been Black public opinion that has informed public policy. And so we are working to change all of that, again, to shift both culture and policy. We have seen students be told that they could not participate in their graduation exercises based on with their friends, based on the idea that you wear your hair that is consistent with cultural pride. We saw a student wrestler who had earned the right to participate in the wrestling match based on talent be told that you have to make a decision that no student should ever have to make right on the spot, have your identity attacked and your locks cut, or forfeit a match that you had earned the right to participate in. We saw another student sent home in tears because you had beautiful braids that were deemed a violation of school rules. So we cannot have that. We cannot create school climates and cultures that are not conducive to what we are asking our students to actually do, which is to thrive and learn and be, you know, his or her best self based on rules where you show up and you're told that you're wrong based on oftentimes how your hair grows out of its head. It just doesn't make any sense. And we're seeking to right that wrong.
Wow. You know, my inclination is to say I recall that the act passing in California where we're located. Is that correct?
It's law in 7 states, but it's passed in 8 legislatures. One governor opted to veto the bill, but it has passed in California. It's passed in New Jersey and in New York and Maryland and in Virginia. And I'm working in so many states to help pass the law. So I will not stop until it is illegal to discriminate against people based on their hair, texture, and styles across the country.
Awesome. Well, look, I can't thank you enough for joining us on the show and lending your expertise. And you know, by the way, as we go forward, we obviously there are some hopes and aspirations for what the Biden-Harris administration can accomplish. I would love to hear your thoughts as we move forward with that.
Thank you so much for having me. Whenever you have me again, I'll be back.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.